right. Morning, church. Morning, internet. Good to have you here. Balcony crew. How y'all doing this morning? Good. Doing great. All right. Well, we're gonna get right into it. We're going to jump right into God's Word this morning. We're starting something new. We're moving into John chapter 7 as we work through the Gospel of John, you know, and something I don't point out every week, but I would encourage you as we go through the Gospel of John, you know, we go verse by verse. I'm encouraging you as we finish a chapter to go ahead and go back into it and write down whatever, you know, you feel the theme for that chapter is, write it in there. That's going to help you as you, you know, when you go back and read it later, you go, oh, okay, it kind of gives you context for what's going on, helps you to understand what the Gospel is all about. The Gospel of John, again, written to help us understand the who of Jesus. Who is he? What's he about? And Jesus is, you know, as we move out of 6 into 7, we're reaching this kind of crossroads, a turning point in the Gospel, if you will, where Jesus is going to now begin to really become very vocal about what it is that he's come to earth to do. There's a time jump here kind of between John 6 and John 7 where now from the rest of the Gospel on, we're in kind of like the final 6 months to the final week of his ministry and his existence. And so I'll just give you a clue what the next few messages are going to be like with the theme that I wrote for John chapter 7. You know, your Bible is your journey. You make it your own, right? But I call John chapter 7 stirring the pot. Jesus is going to start, he's going to start really stirring things up here. And what we just saw at the end of John chapter 6, and if you missed any of our past messages, of course, go to our website, grab the archive, watch the video, right? And at the end of John chapter 6, a lot of his disciples, a lot of his followers, those who were following Jesus because of what he was doing, the miracles and so on, have decided that they're not going to follow him anymore because of who he is and what he's going to stand for and what he's going to do. They've kind of reached this point in the sand where they say, yeah, I'm out here. And so that's only going to continue as we move forward. It's going to get a little more intense and certainly going to become, that road's become a lot harder for his followers. So that's where we're heading, all right? You can see our message title this morning, In His Will, In His Timing. And so I want to talk to you this morning about has anybody here ever, or maybe even right now, struggling to know what is God's will for my life? Right, Lord, why couldn't you just make it easy? Just write it in the sky. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to be when I grow up, whatever it is, whatever decision. Or maybe we know what God's will is, but we struggle with the timing on it. Because we tend to want things, our time frame and God's tend to be a little differently, don't they? We tend to want things like 30 seconds ago, and God doesn't play that game. And so that's where we can struggle. And you know, a lot of, and that can be in little things, or that can be in big things, you know. And so when I talk about, you know, like what is God's will for my life? You know, is what job should I have? What am I supposed to do with my life? And is it the right time to start a family? Is that guy? Is that girl? Are they the one? You know, or is this, you know, is it the right time to start a family? Or hey, we've been together and the family has moved out. So now what? You know, what do we do next? And is it the right time to buy a house? Is it the right time to sell a house? Is it the right time to buy a car? Not to get a car? Is it the right time to invest? Not to, all these questions. Is it, you know, to serve in a ministry? Where? When? All that. What is God's will for my life? How do I know God's will, and how do I know it's the right timing? And so we're gonna talk about that. We just wish God would make it easy, you know. And so I'm just gonna say our main point right up front is that without beyond any shadow of a doubt that God wants you to know His will for your life, and He wants you to walk and live in peace as it unfolds in His timing. You can have both. It's not an either or. It's a both and. You can know God's will and be in peace as it unfolds, right? God, he really, believe me when I say this, he really doesn't play games. He's not into that. He doesn't like playing games. He's not trying to be cute. He's not trying to, you know, play a power trip and like dangle that carrot just out of reach where you're like, oh, you know, or whatever. I mean, if you're into carrots, that's, you know, or it's a Twinkie on the end of the stick, whatever it is, okay? Whatever that, He doesn't do that. And we see that modeled by how Jesus lived his life and how he came here and lived and demonstrated the relationship that he had with the Father. He's like, look, God God's been telling you for thousands of years what he's going to do. I'm telling you what's going to, this is Jesus saying, I'm telling you what's going to happen. God tells you what he's going to do, and then Jesus says, here, I'm telling you what he's doing, and then afterwards he's like, look, I told you what he did, and still we as human beings go around going, I don't get it. Where are the signs, Lord? What sign do you show me to show that you are who you are? God doesn't play games, right? He wants you to know that what his will for your life, and he wants you to be at peace. And we're going to see, Jesus is being very forthwith from here on about what is going to happen in his life. He's like, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. He just got done saying, one of you 12 disciples is going to betray me. One of you is a devil. He knew it ahead of time. This is what's going to happen. He knew the end result of his mission was going to culminate in the cross and his resurrection. And he knew that and knew the timing on it, and yet he didn't get all bent out of shape. He didn't get all worried. It didn't affect what he did one bit. He continued on day in and day out doing what God had told him to do and not worrying about it. And we're like, wow, wouldn't it be cool for us to live that? Well, I'm not Jesus. That's good for him, but I'm not there yet, so I just have to run around and fret and be anxious and worry about stuff. No. Scriptures tell us that the same spirit that brought Jesus back to life is the spirit that lives in you. So what's good for Jesus is good for you too. So you can know God's will and be at peace. How cool would that be? How many of you would want that? Like, yeah, I'd like to have some peace in my life. Sure. All right. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to read John chapter 7. We're going to read the first, I think it's the first like 13 verses or so. So we'll read this nice and loud together for the benefit of those who can't hear or can't read. Okay. So let's read John chapter 7, begin with verse 1. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the Feast of Booths, was near. Therefore, his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers were believing in him. Okay, so just a little pause here. You can insert sarcasm right here, okay? Heavy sarcasm. All right, read on. So Jesus said to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. No wonder they didn't like him. Like, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come. Having said these things, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as if in secret. So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. All right, now there's a lot in here, and we can unpack any one of those verses and make it a message. I want to hone in on here in verse 8, what Jesus says here, what I believe the central theme of that section. Jesus said, my time has not yet fully come. All right, Jesus knew the will of the Father. He knew that the timing had to be right. Okay, he knew what he had to do. He also knew the timing had to be right. We need both God's will and his timing in order to be most effective, okay? Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. All right, again, this is all driving home that point that God wants you to know his will for your life, and we can know that based on what he has already done, and his character does not change, so therefore what applied before still applies to us here today. All right, we can know God's will, and there is a specific timing for that to unfold. So let's read Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. So God had a plan from before the foundation of the world that he set in motion that would come about and would be accomplished at his perfect time. And so when he does that, he does it for a reason, okay? He always accomplishes things for his glory, to make himself known. That's his first and foremost goal in these things. And secondly, for our growing, for our benefit, right? And so if God could do all this, and I'm going to make this point again in detail in a little bit, if God could set in motion before he set the universe in order to bring about Christ's birth and death and resurrection down to the last detail, then I'm pretty sure he can handle the details of your life too. That he has a will for your life. That will is good, and the timing of it is going to be perfect, because it'll accomplish his purposes to bring him the most glory and the benefit for you. All right, so that's what's happened here. And what Jesus is, and what Paul is saying here is, like, look, everything in the Old Testament is leading up to this moment. It's all done for a reason, to bring about God's purposes. All right, my time has not yet fully come. Do you understand it is possible to do the right thing at the wrong time and get a less than desirable or less than positive outcome? Have you ever experienced anything like that? We say, oh, wrong place, wrong time, but you can be in the right place at the wrong time and still have, negative aspects of it. I mean, let me give you some examples, right? So again, I was in law enforcement for a lot of years, and I was an instructor. I would teach officers how to protect themselves and protect the community, serve and protect, right? How to protect that. And so we had all the bat tools, okay, all the cool stuff that law enforcement guys get to carry. And like, and it wasn't just, I would instruct them not just in the knowledge of what that specific tool does, but also when to use it, because when you use it is incredibly important, right? And I would talk about timeliness. Like, you don't want to be too early. You don't want to be too late with it. In order to be effective, you got to do it at the right time. So I would say the time to pull your baton and defend yourself is not after you've already been punched or kicked or assaulted. The time to pull the baton is before that. If you pull it afterwards, it's too late. You've already been assaulted, right? Does that make sense? Okay. The time to do it is to pull it when you see the signs of aggression coming. You see the clenched fists. You see the look on his face. You hear the words, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to mess you up. All right. He's telling you what he's going to do. I don't have to wait for him to start punching me before I can start defending myself. All right. Don't be too late with it. On the other side of that is, don't be too early with things. The time to use pepper spray is not after you've given somebody an instruction one time and they say no. Tell me where you were last night. No. How about now? All right? But that, no good. Okay? That's too early. That's excessive. You're going to get a lot of trouble for that. All right? I argued with Jenny for a long time on this, that when I transitioned from that job to this job, that I wanted to bring all those tools with me. She said, you can't do that. I'm not convinced on that yet. It'd be really helpful in some conflict resolution meetings. Here. There. Now. Okay. Too early. Okay. Something that Jenny and I talk about this kind of a lot, regularly. We made a decision. Again, you can do something in the right, do the right thing and be in the right in the wrong time and then not get the result you want. So, about 2 years ago, Jenny and I reached a decision and we're like, hey, let's do something really good. And we'll pay off our mortgage. It's our last debt. Let's pay that off. Yeah, I don't surface that. Isn't that the American dream? Like, yeah, cool. And we did it. And Jenny will say that she had financial peace for about 3 days. And then, was that really the right thing to do? Because we had to stretch ourselves to do it. And then we compounded that action by making some home improvements that ended up being more expensive. They always are than you think they're going to be. And so now, again, we improved the house. It's a good thing, but we really overextended ourselves into our savings to do that. And so now we live without financial peace because, right? Right thing was at the right time, And so I think that's the struggle, is something may be in God's will, but it may not be in his timing. And that's where where a lot of our struggle is. We know God wants or has things for us. He's calling us to do something, or he's put something there that we kind of see the sign and go, is it right now or do I need to wait? Because if you're too early or too late, you don't get the outcome that you want. All right. Again, Jesus knew the right thing to do was to suffer and die on a cross and be resurrected. He knew that was the will, but he knew it wasn't the right timing just yet. So when it says he wasn't going to go into Judea, which is where Jerusalem was, he wasn't going to go there because he knew the Pharisees were trying to kill him. He knew he couldn't yet risk any Roman involvement. He knew Judas was actively working to betray him, and yet he didn't jump the gun. He didn't just, oh, let's just get it over with, right? It's not yet. We have to wait for the exact right moment, all right? He wasn't afraid of them. He wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't afraid of anything man-made, but he was cautious about the timing of his death. Let's read Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Let's read that nice and loud. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Again, here's this phrase, the fullness of time. God waited until everything was aligned exactly the way he wanted it to bring about his purposes, okay? We can make a whole message about this. I don't want to do that, but this fullness of time, Jesus says, my time has not yet fully come. And we could get into why A.D. 33 was the perfect time for Jesus Christ to come into the world as God in the flesh, to live, to die, and be resurrected. Why? Because of the Roman occupation, the height of the Roman Empire. This is the pinnacle of human advancement, if you will, for the time. That the Romans, though life was very cruel and very harsh under their rule, they had very little tolerance for any kind of uprising or any of that thing. They also brought up a lot of improvements. The two biggest ones being improvements to roadways. Travel was a lot easier and a lot safer now. And two, the use of the common language, in which they spread throughout all their kingdom. So there was this common language in the Middle East and Southern Europe and all that, that united people, whereas before they were fractured. So it was the right time for the gospel, the good news, to be birthed and then to explode out of that region because travel was easy and communication was universal. Right? In addition to that, there is the exact timing of when Jesus went to Jerusalem to be crucified, and that's all tied to what God did in the Old Testament here. Everything he does, practically everything he does in the Old Testament here, is a physical preview or example of what he's going to do in the spiritual realm later. And so all these feasts that he's going to, these celebrations, all the stuff that happened to the Israelites from the time they were formed as a nation and before that to up to their captivity and then establishing, all that is a physical representation of what God is doing in the spiritual realm in our hearts, in liberating us, freeing us from sin. We sang that this morning, I've been set free, right? Well, God, to do that, to help us understand that concept, he literally set his people free. And then he gave them what the early church should look like and then expanded on it, right? And so when Jesus says, I'm not going up there just yet, it's not time for me to go in, because he wanted to go at a specific festival, a specific feast, and that is Passover. Passover would celebrate how the Lord protected his people from death by the spilling of a lamb's blood when they were in captivity in Egypt. And so that was the significant festival that was about 6 months from where we are now in John chapter 7. And so that's Jesus would become our Passover lamb. By his blood, we are spared from death and delivered. And so he would go, all right, and he knew that's when I'm going to go. Not this festival, which was the festival of booths or tabernacles, which was the initial. That's a lot of history, which I know you don't really care about, but there's a point to it, right? Everything God said and ordered was for a reason. And so right down to the fact of that Jesus says, I'm going to go at this Sabbath coming up because it's a high Sabbath, which would occur during the Passover feast. So the Passover feast is an 8-day festival, and then there's a Sabbath day of rest in there, but it was a high Sabbath, which occurs about 3 or 4 times a year. So there was an extra day of rest in there. All that point of that, and this is a message I've preached before, you can go search for it at Easter, okay? But all that says, God orchestrated it so that Jesus Christ was betrayed on a Tuesday night, crucified Wednesday, in the tomb Wednesday night. So he's in the tomb Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 3 days, 3 nights, according to scriptures, resurrected at the end of Passover, on Saturday night so that he is discovered out of the tomb on Sunday morning when the Passover and the Sabbath is over, right? All that was foretold by God down to the last detail, right? So, and to say nothing of the fact that, you know, let's go back to the signs that God ordained and set in motion to announce his arrival, that he put a star there, right? The star of Bethlehem, so that when Jesus was born, the wise men, the astrologers saw, hey, there's a new star in the sky and it's pointing to the king, right? You know that story from Christmas, okay? Think about the fact that if God put a star there that would shine, he had to put it when? He had to put it when he created the universe thousands of years earlier and set that star in motion so that the light from that star would travel and reach Earth just when Jesus arrived. So if God could work out all those details down to the minute of when Jesus was going to be crucified and rise again, all according to what he had foretold for thousands of years, if he can do that, then he can handle the details of your life too. He's got a plan for it. The scriptures say he knew you before you were formed in the womb, that all your days were laid out before him before you took one breath, and that he has a will and a plan for your life, and that plan is always good. So, there's the scriptural evidence for all that. I'll send the notes out. You can read it, check it yourself, right? So we can know God's will, and we cover a lot of this in John chapter 6, actually, so I don't want to spend a lot of time rehashing it. How do we know God's will? All right, if the Lord gives you the what, if he gives you the will, what it is, then he has to supply the when, all right? That's his business. It's not ours. It's his. Again, Jesus knew the Pharisees were trying to kill him. Number one thing in knowing God's will, don't panic, all right? Jesus knew that the Pharisees were working to kill him. He knew Jesus was going to betray him. He didn't panic. He didn't hide in a cave somewhere. He didn't say, well, I'm just going to hunker down until it's time. He went about his normal everyday life. He didn't treat Judas any differently. He didn't treat the people any differently. He went out every day, Lord, Dad, what do you want me to do? I'm going to go do that. I'm going to walk not in fear. I'm going to walk in peace, knowing that your will not be distracted or influenced by the things of man as long as I keep my eyes on you, right? And so we just got done in John chapter 6 with Jesus correcting the disciples because they're in the boat. He says, go row across the shore. Okay, they get halfway across. The storm comes up. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Right? Why have you abandoned us? Jesus walks on the water out there, says to them, why are you afraid? Why do you have such little faith? I told you to go across the shore. That's what God's called you to do. The storm's irrelevant. Right? But for your sakes, I'll calm the storm. Sometimes we're just going to sail through it. All right? He just got done saying that, and now we have this, oh, the Pharisees are trying to kill you. Oh, Judas is going to betray you. And Jesus is like, no worries. God has said this is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen in his timing. All right? Don't panic. When God speaks it to you, and we'll talk in just a minute real quick about how to know that, right? Then he has to provide the when. Jenny and I have shared oftentimes about, you know, probably one of the biggest struggles in our lives was when, you know, we lived for a long time as a happily married couple going, yep, just you and me, and we're good, high-fiving each other in restaurants. Some kid would start crying, you know, some baby would be like, yeah, that's not us, okay. You know, and all very happy with that until the fullness of time, until time came past, and we kind of went, no, something's missing. We feel like we want to have a child of our own. And then that desire grew, and we asked the Lord, is this what you want us to do? And we felt him confirm it through his word and through testimony and through things of, yep, this is God's will for us to have a child. So, okay, he gave us a desire, so, man, it's going to happen like that. And years went by with nothing. And like, okay. And that became a real struggle for us, and eventually reaching the point of saying, God, if you're not going to deliver on your word, on your promise, then you have to take this desire from us, because we can't live like this in the constant frustration and disappointment of it not coming to pass, right? And then when we were, you know, pretty much at that last bit of our rope or whatever, God had answered. He showed up in a way that only he could, and he did that in such a way that everyone around us went, wow, that's God. It wasn't anything we did on our own or could control or any of that stuff. He did it. He made himself known, glorified his name, and got our benefit from it. Right, so that's how it works. But the key in that is not panicking, not losing heart, just saying, okay, Lord, we're gonna keep our eyes focused on you and not on our situation, not what they're telling us one way or the other, right? So again, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but how to know God's will? Don't panic. Spend time in your personal devotional life. Make sure you are doing what you need to do in your relationship. Read his word, talk to him about it, and write it down. Right? Write it down. Do I have that in here? Where is that? We'll talk about dates in just a minute, about writing stuff down in a minute. But anyway, have the personal devotional life. Does it withstand, how do I know it's God's will? Does it withstand the three witness tests? We talk about a lot about that here at Blue Mountain Community Church. Is there ample scriptural evidence? At least three witnesses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament from Jesus, and one in the New Testament from Paul, preferably. Does it line up with God's word? Is it his will, God says I should go into debt to buy a boat, or that example came to me right now. No offense, anybody who bought a boat, okay, right? But that's what God's will said. Well, what does his word say about going into debt for things that are not essential, right? Well, okay, doesn't really say that. So maybe it's a desire, but it might not be God's will for you to go into debt for it. Is it his will for you to have a boat? Sure, because if you delight yourself in him, then he gives you the desires of your heart. He's given you those things to enjoy in his life because he wants you to enjoy life. Really, he does. That's why he created it, right? So doesn't mean it's always easy. It's not, always fun, but he does want to give you the desires of your heart. So those things are okay, but again, right thing, wrong timing, okay? So does it withstand the three witness test scripturally and from wise biblical counsel? Mature believers are going to come alongside you to say, yeah, here's what God's word says. Yes, that's accurate. Or to caution you and say, the word doesn't really say that, so you might want to be careful there with those things, okay? And then what fruit does it produce? What's the end result of that thing that he's calling you to do, that you feel he's calling you to do? He's calling me to leave my job. Okay, why? Well, because there's an opportunity here, and it's going to provide, it's a bigger benefit for us, and whatever. Okay, there's good fruit produced there, right? Or is it because, it's selfish gratification, I'm doing it because I'm a people pleaser, or whatever. Those kind of fruits are not going to produce healthy things, and it's not going to be good. All right, so that's all that is. Know God's will. If he gives you the what, he has to supply the when. That's his job, and just stay the course with him. All right, I want to talk more about God's timing, because I think that's where we tend to struggle. And so these are just the quick points. How to know God's timing, and that is seek His wisdom. Keep a low profile, and this is all from what Jesus just did here in John chapter 7. We're going to see that. All right. Let the naysayers talk. Live your life and walk in his peace. All right. When we struggle with the what, it's often because we can't control the when. And again, I think that's probably the bigger issue here is I know what God wants me to do, and he's given me the desire, and he's put that within my heart, and I've confirmed it, all these things. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? All right. So first, seek his wisdom. And when I say seek his wisdom, I mean seek his wisdom and not the wisdom of people. Okay. Psalm 63:5. Let's read Psalm 63:5 nice and loud together. A great promise and a great vision and instruction that we have to tell ourselves this sometimes, okay? My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him. All right. When I say seek his wisdom, do like Jesus did, who went to Dad, Heavenly Father, and said, okay, what do you want me to do today? Give me the details. I'm not looking for the details for 6 months from now. What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? Who do you want me to talk to today? What do you want me to, right? Those specific details. Ask the Lord for, I think a lot of us are afraid to ask God for details because we think we're bothering him. God, you got this whole universe to control. Why would you even take notice of me? Why can I even bother you with details? But as we just saw, he laid it out to the day in human history when Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. He can handle details, okay? Jenny and I both had to replace our vehicles this year, I think, and I've shared a little bit of that, and that was an unexpected expense, okay? And so mine was back in March, and hers was just a few weeks ago. And both times, Like, all right, Lord, well, you know, we had a plan, right? A financial plan, and this is going to affect that pretty severely. So how are we going to do this? And Lord, you know, how can we not violate your principles, and how can we live in peace and yet have the desires of our heart, right? It's all those things. God can do both. He can do both things, right? And so I started looking for a truck, and I was looking for a truck for a long time because I knew my truck wasn't going to pass inspection and it wasn't worth putting the money in to fix it. So I had an advanced notice. And then as you know, the new year kicked around, I'm like, okay, now we're going to start looking and really start looking for a truck. And that panic starts to settle in here, like, I'm not finding it yet. I'm not finding it yet. I'm not finding it yet. And I love how the Lord speaks to Jenny with things. This is why it's great to have a partner, right? The Lord spoke to her and said, just relax. It's not for sale yet. The one I have for you, it's not for sale yet. Okay. And so I was coming up on, I had a little amount of time left on my inspection, and doing the same, you know, I mean, the internet's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful tool anymore, you know. All these websites, you know, Auto Trader and Carvana and all, I mean, everywhere. Like, find the, and bloop, there it is. Oh, when did that go on? How did I miss that one? Oh, just went on the market 2 days ago. That's what, right? Went over, looked at it, and I've shared this part of it too before, is, you know, drove the truck, and first of all, I shouldn't have even gone to look at it, because on the picture that they're showing you, I can see the engine lights on, right? A big hole in the bumper in the front that I missed in the pictures. If I had seen that, I wouldn't have traveled an hour and a half in New Jersey to go look at it. I would have said, no, forget that. That's stupid. I'm not wasting my time with that. We're driving this thing around. The engine light's on. You know, this thing's not working. And, you know, again, I should have been like, this is stupid. Come back, throw the keys at him, and say, thanks for wasting my time, right? But we're driving around, and I said to her, I'm like, let's see what they do. There was a peace in my heart that didn't make sense, because I like to consider myself a rational person who thinks logically and said, this doesn't make any sense, so why am I wasting my time here? And I said to her, I'm like, it's the same reaction I had when I heard about this opportunity to adopt a child. You know, logistical law enforcement Cliff should have said, just slow down here. That I know how these stories end. That doesn't make any sense. Right, let's not get all excited over something that's probably not going to happen. And what came out of my mouth was, isn't that like God to throw us a curveball? Let's see what he does next. And it was the same thing with this truck. And there it was. I'm like, and it was the right one. It's, you know, Jenny calls it, it's clearly a Cliffy Mobile, you know, it's, right, it's a desire. Okay, cool. Then, you know, okay, good, now. And 6 months later, we got to replace her truck now. Like, okay, here we go again, right? And we're searching and asking, and we had a little bit shorter time frame to do this, and so, okay, how are we going to do this, and what do we want, and what's the desire of our heart, and what's the right thing to do, and how are we going to finance it, and how's God going to provide for it, and all that stuff, back and forth. And Jenny was sharing and talking to the Lord day in, day out. And when was that? That was in September. You wrote it down. In her journal, she wrote October 14th. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. October 14th, I was away in the men's retreat. October 14th, she does an internet search. New listing. Day before, 2 days ago, new listing. She called me. I think I found it. I'm like, I trust the Holy Spirit in you. If you have peace, go look at it, and God will take care of the rest. And he did. You know, that's what he does. Okay, so, but ask him for details. He gave her the date a month ahead of time. Here, that's when you'll find it. Don't worry about it till then. Don't even bother looking till that day. That sounds crazy, right? But yet God is in the details. He can handle it, all right? So seek his wisdom, not people. There was a time Jenny and I were like, we had built our house and we ran out of money building the house, so we couldn't build our front porch, you know? So we had this door that stood up in the air, 6 feet up in the air, you know, for 10 years. And we wanted to build a front porch, had a vision for it, knew what we wanted. Okay, what's the right timing? And we're talking with, and then, you know, talking with one financial institution that's looked at our financials and said, you have no debt. You could, what you make, you could easily form a home equity loan and get this and get. And we're first, like, oh yeah, let's do that. And we started signing up, filling the paperwork. And the next day, I can remember it clear as day. Jenny called me. I could hear it in her voice. She goes, I'm not settled. I don't have peace over this. This is not the right. God said 10 years. We're only at 8 years. call them up. Nope, cancel it. We're not doing it. We're going to have peace. We're not sacrificing our peace to get something that we want right here now. Does that mean God didn't want us to have it? No, we have a beautiful front porch. If you've been to Our Lady's Praise on a Porch or any of the other stuff we do, you know it's a great place, right? But we did it in His timing, in His will, and we have peace, all right? Ask Him for the details by seeking His wisdom, not the wisdom of people in this world who just want to say, oh yeah, just go ahead and just go ahead, right? You get in a lot of trouble that way, all right? Let's read Proverbs 29, 25. You read your proverb of the day, right? Who read Proverbs 29 this morning? I know Rick did, right? Who else? View you? Good. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts the Lord will be exalted, okay? Jesus, right, in John 7 here, his brothers kind of goad him. Go ahead, Jesus. If you're all this and a bag of cookies, why don't you go up to the festival then? You go up to Jerusalem and make yourself known. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm not playing that game. I'm not gonna go along with it just because you want me to. He didn't go along with his brothers because they didn't believe in his mission. They didn't believe in the authenticity of who he was. They didn't believe in who he was. They didn't care for his well-being, though they pretended to. They really didn't. They knew the Pharisees were trying to kill him, and here they are in goading him. Yeah, going up there where your life is going to be at risk. They don't care about his well-being. And people who do not understand God's ways, they don't have your best interests in mind. They don't care about your well-being. They care about theirs. So pay attention to that. They had no heart conviction. Oh, yeah, we're going up to the festival to celebrate. We're going to put on this outward appearance of religion. But Jesus knew they had no heart conviction. That's why he says you're always in season, but my time's not. Right? And they didn't understand the fullness of time. They did not understand that it could be the right thing, but it could be the wrong time. So don't go to the wisdom of people who don't know or are not following the Lord or understand it. Okay, you're just going to get into, don't give in to the pressure of people. Seek to please God, and your path will be made straight. I spent a lot of time in my early years trying to please people, trying to be what they wanted me to be, and as a result, the end result was I ended up running from who God was calling me to be, and I was miserable about it. No peace. I'll take that. You know, I will take that. And some of those relationships, some of those friendships have gone away, and I've lost friendships as a result of it. That's okay. I have peace within myself and peace between the Lord because I'm being obedient to Him rather than trying to please people. All right, so seek His wisdom. Secondly, keep a low profile. Jesus went up to the festival. He did go. He didn't lie to them. He said, I'm not going with you. He didn't say he wasn't going. He said, I'm not going with you. He didn't want to make a big deal about it. He didn't go in the family caravan. He didn't do all that stuff. We're going to see next week in John 7, you know, he makes a pretty big, he's not hiding. He's preaching in the synagogue. He's doing all these things, right? He says, I'm not going to come in here and make a big entrance here. I'm keeping a low profile. Not everyone needs to know your business. Amen. Not everyone needs to know your business. We don't need to post every little thing on Facebook, on social media, so that we get, you know, the self-affirmation, so we get the likes, so we get the comments, so we get the drama, so we get all that stirred up, right? If you're struggling with something in God's will and knowing His timing, take a step back. Like Mary. Mother of Jesus, Mary treasured these things in her heart, treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. I know Nancy, it's one of Nancy's favorite verses. Keep it in here. We keep it close. Like, okay, Lord, this is a big thing. I'm trusting you with it, but I'm not going to kind of share that broad, you know, in a broad spectrum here. Why? Because you're going to get a lot of input and feedback that you don't need. That's not helpful. And you could have really reckoned somebody else because they're not ready to handle it, right? So we keep things kind of close to the vest and just keep a low profile, all right? Keep your focus on the Lord again, not on trying to people please. All right. Thirdly, let the naysayers talk. You understand, there's always going to be an element in this world that is going to be against you, be opposed to you because you uphold what God is doing in your life. Okay. Jesus said in John 7:6, "My time's not here, but your time's always opportune." Again, no wonder his brothers didn't really care for him. He just called him a devil, right? He said, evil and sin will always want to run its mouth. It's just what it does. It's just going to be out there. It's going to talk. It's going to seek to tear down. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy all the time. That's who he is, the devil. That's his character. It doesn't change. And so in this world, we're going to have that, and it's always going to be that element that's going to seek to just kind of, you know, blah, 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 let the, you know, all that stuff, just let it ride. You know, Jesus didn't respond to it. He didn't get into a war of words with him. All right. It's always in season for the devil and his works. Okay. It just, we're out of time. I'm going to keep moving. All right. Again, trying to please other people often comes at a price of not being pleasing to the Lord. All right. So, just let him talk. All right. Let them talk. There's nothing to be gained from engaging. The Proverbs talks a lot about what happens, the danger of engaging with a fool, and you're going to end up being the one who is shamed. So just don't do it. Don't argue with him. Fourthly, live your life. And what I mean by live your life, I mean is continue to do the daily things, the little things day in and day out. Jesus did not alter his schedule. Again, he didn't go and run and hide. He wasn't fearful. Every day he would spend time. It says he would get away from the crowds, go seek the Lord. Dad, what do you want me to do? Right? Let's read Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Okay? Again, Jesus, he didn't pull away from Judas. He loved him all the same up until the very end. He lived each day. And he just remained faithful and humble and obedient. That's what Philippians says. All of you have this attitude in Christ, who was humble to the point of obedience to death on the cross, right? It's the little things. We struggle to know God's will. We struggle to know his timing. It comes down to being obedient in the little things, listening to his voice, honing that so you know it, handling the truth such when you hear a lie, you recognize it instantly, right? And so do the little things, and over time, they pay off, right? How do we get to this place? How do we, you know, our men's retreat a few years ago, was win the day. How do we want to win the years? How do we want to experience victory over addictions? How do we want to be a godly man, a godly father, a godly husband? How do we do that? By winning this day, by winning this moment. And then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And over time, you get the results, you get the success. So live your life in the little things, and it will bring about the bigger results. And the last part is to walk in peace. God has absolutely intended for us to walk in peace. I love that when we put on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, there's all this armor we put on, and it's the shoes of the gospel of peace, because God wants you to literally walk in it. It's not a destination that we get to. It's a state of being that we are in when we walk in. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Again, he wants you to know his will, and he will reveal it to you so that you can have peace. The fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in us, then we have the Spirit of love, joy, peace. What follows peace? There's a reason that flows out of that, right? All right. We should put the patience first. Love, joy, patience, and then I have peace. If I'm patient, I have peace. I don't have peace, so I'm not impatient. Let's read Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If I've ever prayed with you, you probably heard me use this. This is one of my favorite and go-to promises from the Scriptures, that the peace of God will protect your heart and your mind. It will protect, shield your emotions and your thoughts. The peace of God. Right? Again, peace is the journey. It's not the destination. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's a progression. We don't get peace until we are in right standing with God, until we are being obedient before him. When we are obedient before him, then we have peace. As a result of peace, then we have joy. All right? And so, be like Jesus. Again, he's the example here. Whether it's here, what we're seeing in John 7, or Hebrews 12:2 says, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He knew the cross was coming, and yet he was. And again, when we get to that part, we'll talk about it. That's not fun times. Crucifixion was not a walk in the park. Right? It is arguably the most horrific 24 hours in human history that any one person is ever going to experience. But he didn't look at just that moment, but he looked beyond it. To say, well, I'm going to go through this, and as a result, this is what's going to happen. And therefore, he was joyful about it. James, in and his brother James eventually will say, consider it joy when you encounter new stuff, because it's going to produce character in you, right? That's how we can not get bent out of shape. We keep our eyes focused on the eternal, right? Peace is the journey. When you're in right standing, when you're humble, when you're obedient before the Lord, then you have peace. And then the rest, hey, it's okay. The timing will happen in his timing, whether it's now or whether it's 10 years from now or 30 years from now, right? You know, we get bent out of shape because we were waiting for, you know, a few years for a child, or we're waiting for, you know, whatever, you know, a few years. You know, think about Noah building an ark. It took him 40 years to build this boat, and people laughing at him and calling him all kinds of names, thinking he's stupid. They weren't laughing when it started raining. Think about Moses, you know, walking in and, you know, hiding out in a wilderness for 40 years after killing somebody because he was trying to liberate his people. No, not time to go back, you know, and he went back in, and his own people were rejecting him, saying, aren't you the guy who, like, killed somebody? Think about David, who was anointed as king and as a teenager and spent about 20 years running for his life, hanging out in mountains, trying to avoid being killed by the current king. You know, he had a guy, hey, God, I thought you said, right? But yet, he maintained his humility. He maintained his peace. He would not act again. He didn't take things into his own hands. He said, nope, God has ordained it. When it's his time, he'll make it happen. And that's the end. That's why these guys are heroes of faith, because they humble, trusted the Lord, and let God work on it. And then the peace of God protects their hearts and their minds, gives them rule over their thoughts and emotions rather than be ruled by it. So Noah's will, walk in peace, and his timing will bring it to pass. Music team, you guys want to come on up here as we get ready to sing our last song. Let's read Romans 8, verses 24, 20, 25. Romans 8, 28 is a pretty big verse that we know it. We talk about this verse a lot, but understand the context of when he says it. Paul says, for in hope we've been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who call according to his purpose. And so as we end our time this morning, you know, understand that God does want to reveal his will to you. You can know his will by spending time with him, by spending time in the little things, and he will give you peace as you are obedient to him until he brings it to pass. That's what hope is. That's what faith is. And when we love him and we're called according to his purpose, then he works it out. Amen? Amen. Would you all close your eyes for a minute? We can't have peace until we are in right standing with him. And so if you this morning, that's your decision, or that's your heart's cry, that you don't have peace with the Lord because you're not in right standing with him, either you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have the assurance of eternal life, or you know there's an area in your life where God has called you to do something, but you're not being obedient to it, or you're struggling with the timing of it. You're wrestling with the timing and you're getting frustrated or impatient with it. If any of those three areas apply to you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning and look at me. Okay, I see you. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Balcony crew. Yep, I got you. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask us all to pray this out loud together. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your will for my life. Thank you, I'm in your will. You had me in mind when you gave yourself on the cross. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I repent from my sin. And by your blood, I am brought into right standing with you. Thank you, Lord, that I now have peace. As a result of peace, I have joy. And so now, Lord, I give you this area of my life where I'm waiting on you. Thank you, Lord. You will bring it to pass in your timing and cause all things to work together for good, because I love you and I'm called to your purposes. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.